right, Tiger fans, this is Talking Tigers with your host, Wesley Burris, and my co-host, Taylor Griggs. And today we're giving you the preview for the Furman-Paladin game this weekend up in Death Valley. You said kickoff was, what, 12:20? I think that's what we read earlier. I don't really have a whole ton to go into today. Just going to give you the updated depth chart for Clemson. And the only thing I could find on Furman's depth chart was the information on TigerNet for the Paladins. So we don't know a whole ton about them, but we'll go into a little bit, try to flesh this episode out, give it some depth, because we'll be coming back next week. We'll have kind of like a double feature because you will be, you know, reviewing this game, recapping this game, and then moving forward with the preview for the next week. So that being said, I think, you know, we got some kind of I wouldn't call it big news today that Kelly Bryant would be the starting quarterback. I assumed that this would happen. I think it's obvious that Trevor Lawrence is going to see the field at some point in this game because I feel like the Tigers are going to run away with it. I don't think anybody thinks otherwise. I think they'd be foolish to. The Paladins are good for what they are, which is a mid to upper level FCS program. And they've had strong success at that level, the old school 1AA level in the past. They've been national champions. And here in the state of South Carolina, they do get a lot of talent up there in Greenville. But I will say this, they're no match for Clemson. We've seen that in the past. I expect the same to continue. I honestly, what was I telling you earlier? And this is not to be ridiculous, but I think Clemson could just go back there, snap it to the running back, and easily win this football game. Because Furman is not going to be able to do anything against this defense at all. I've been on record on an earlier episode of this podcast saying I don't know if they score. I really don't. And I think the only way that they do is if they leave their starters in really late or they'd have to get really lucky. I don't think they're going to score. And if they do, they're not going to score more than a field goal or two, I don't believe. I don't think they're going to be able to sustain any drives. And I think Clemson fans – no, this is pretty much going to be a walk in the park. Just hope to get through this with no injuries and major injuries and whatnot and move on to A&M the next week. I think that's the game plan. Oh, my goodness. Just dropping stuff, making a mess. I think, you know, I haven't really listened to much of what Dabo's had to say lately. And I know that it really – what can you really take from it other than – everybody knows that this is going to be a pretty damn good football team, if not a great football team. And like the Gamecocks, the big rivals, I think the second game is the one you've definitely got circled more than the first. And in the Tigers' case, I would say that they definitely outmatch Furman more than the Gamecocks outmatch the Chanticleers. I just think that's clear. I think there's no doubt of to reiterate this again, that Clemson is probably a playoff team or definitely a possible playoff team. I don't think anybody's going to doubt that. So the Paladins, obviously, I've always said for years, I think you should always open up with a game like this. If you're going to play your in-state rivals and you're going to pay them the money that you have to pay them, and I think it's a good thing to do so to keep relations between the schools because, you know, Clemson's always played Furman. Carolina's always played Furman. And now Coastal's in the mix at the FBS level. I think, you know, them getting in with both of these teams makes sense, more so than playing like a Wofford, who you could slip up and struggle with a little bit for, in Clemson's case, probably not near as much as the Gamecocks have. You know, the Gamecocks took the loss to Citadel a few years ago, and I mentioned that on my other podcast because it's a harsh reality. It is what it is, and they just didn't play good ball that day. But I don't think there's any worry, honestly, for either of these teams to lose in week one, but I do think Clemson's in much better shape to go out and dominate. I look for this to be an easy, you know, I'm going to throw a weird number out there, like 52 to nothing or worse. I really could see that. And I think Clemson will go out and run their offense early on. And I think once they get the lead, they're going to bring the backups in. And honestly, man, if I were Dabo, I wouldn't put Trevor Lawrence in the game too much because you're going to probably count on him later in the season if Bryant in the run game gets banged up, which we have seen. The team does count on the quarterback to run a lot in this system. So I think Lawrence should be minimalized here as well. I think you definitely want to see him. The fans do. That's what they're paying their money to go see. And you have opportunities here with Furman and then week three against Georgia Southern where you're going to have a chance to get him on the field. And I think here if you do get a big lead, a 21-28-point lead, it's 21-28 nothing, you know. I think you play Lawrence for maybe two or three series, but I wouldn't play him too much more than that. And I think you could let the other guys go out there and take care of business because there's no sense in ruining what could be a special season, you know, week one against the Paladins in a meaningless game that you're not going to lose no matter what you do. I mean, there's no way. I don't have a line on this. The Gamecocks were favored over Coastal by 29.5, which I think is pretty ridiculous. But these you can find lines between FBS and FCS teams. Some bookies take them and whatnot. The sites that I generally go to do not produce lines on these, and those are what my bookies go pretty much go by. So I haven't seen them. I haven't really looked that hard. I would assume this line is somewhere around 45 or 48, maybe even higher. But that's where usually these games, the bar is set somewhere around there. And, hell, if they're taking it in Vegas, I'm sure a lot of people are going to bet Clemson. I don't think it's stupid to do so because, like I said, I could see a 52-point win or bigger. That's pretty much it about that before I go into the depth chart. So I'll just go ahead and do that. And TigerNet released this today, and it was leaked to other things. I think Adam Choice put it on Twitter. What?
You didn't want to go over the
– No, we'll do that after we do the Clemson depth chart. We'll go into okay. Furman. So I'll run through Clemson real quick, and we're going to give you Furman results from last year just to kind of fill in a little bit more time. And then we'll give you what we think we're going to look for in this game. It's very minimal. I don't know much about Furman. I haven't done a whole ton of digging. And next week we will have more comprehensive looks at the next teams going forward. I'll have more time to sit down, and we'll recap this game, like I said earlier, and go forward with previewing the next. There'll be longer episodes, hopefully not too long, so you'll stay interested. So moving into Clemson's depth chart, we got Kelly Bryant starting at quarterback. As I said, you'll see Trevor Lawrence, probably see a couple more guys as well, if they're smart, in my opinion. At running back, Etienne is listed as a starter. And on TigerNet, for some reason, Adam Choice was listed as the backup, which I mentioned on a previous episode with the depth chart, the whole deal with Clemson. I think Feaster, you can't keep him off the field, but Adam Choice is not a bad back either. It's going to be a battle there, and I think – that they've got him in there, obviously. To me, Adam Choice is listed as the backup for this game. Makes sense because it's Furman. Get him some carries. He's been in the program a while. He knows the offense. And don't risk getting your big-time studs there, your 1-2 punch with Feaster and Etienne, banged up. And let the other guys take the bulk of the carries once you get a lead. The wide receiver, Hunter Renfro, Amari Rodgers are going to man two spots there. And then the other spot, they have T. Higgins or Justin Ross will get the nod. And I think that's because Justin Ross has had a big-time offseason, preseason, if you will, for college football. And he's been doing well in summer camps and all. And he looks like a big-time playmaker, man. He just really does. T. Higgins can stretch the field. This is just to me, even though some of these guys don't have the numbers besides Renfro, I just think all of these are just too good athletes for Furman to deal with. A tight end, Mylon Richard, I might have that wrong. Apologize, and Garrett Williams, they're going to alternate there at tight end. Left tackle, you got Mitch Hyatt, been a starter there pretty much since day one. John Simpson at left guard, Justin Falsinelli at center, Sean Pollard at right guard, and Tremaine Ankrum at right tackle. So pretty much just guys you've all seen and guys you know that can produce, and some of the guys on the offensive line are new. But I'm pretty sure they've all been in this good weight program Clemson has, and they're ready to play. And they're hungry to get out here and impose their will on Furman. I think they'll push them around. It's just not going to be a close game. And it'll be fun to watch for Tiger fans, but probably not a game that too many people outside of the Clemson-Furman-South Carolina Gamecock world are going to have much interest in. Defensive end, Cleland Farrell, of course. Dexter Lawrence at tackle, Christian Wilkins at tackle, Austin Bryant at defensive end, and they say Orkrich register, and he's an upperclassman who I think will get a lot of playing time. You're going to see the backups there a lot. You're going to see them rotate a lot of guys in on the defensive line. Can't get these studs hurt if you want to contend nationally. You just can't, especially in a game like this. you come out to me, you run the first two or three series with these guys, and I don't even know if they'd start the whole first two or three series. Maybe a play here, a play there, and run them off the field and keep them fresh. Don't let them get banged up because it's going to be hot. We've got forecasts. I don't really know what the upstate looks like, but I know in our area in the Midlands and the PD, it looks like we could have rain Saturday. So I'm assuming that could come past the upstate as well. So I hope everybody has a nice day and doesn't have to deal with any kind of thunder showers or anything like that, or it doesn't delay the game. But you want to keep these guys healthy. At strong side linebacker and sort of like a nickelback type hybrid position is Isaiah Simmons. Middle linebacker, you got Trey Lamar or Judah Davis. And weak side linebacker is Kendall Joseph, and that's a returning starter. He's been a really good linebacker. At cornerback, you got A.J. Terrell and Trayvon Mullen. At strong safety, I'm guessing this is Kayvon Wallace. It could be Kavon, and I apologize for getting that wrong if it is. And Tanner Muse at free safety. Kicker, Greg Hugel or Alex Spence. And punter, you got Will Spears. So I think the Tigers are pretty set. Veteran team, some new faces in certain spots, but the core is there. The quality of talent and depth is there. There's no doubt about that. We've gone over that ad nauseum on the previous episodes. Going to try to keep this one a little short because it's really, you know, this is a game where you're excited football season's here, but you're not that excited for who you're playing. You just hope you go out here and beat the hell out of them. Furman last year, Taylor was 8-5, so I'll give you a second to pull that back up because I know you've been – all right. Go ahead and run through the schedule real quick for what they did last year, and then we'll give you the depth chart, and then we'll just go on into talking about this game a little bit.
They opened the season with Wofford and lost 24-23. They moved on to Elon in week two, lost 34-31. It's close. It's a close game.
Yeah.
Lost to NC State 49-16.
That doesn't surprise me.
Lost to Colgate 45-14, excuse me. Beat ETSU.
East Tennessee State.
East Tennessee State.
Okay.
56-35. Beat Chattanooga 41-17.
The Mocs, who the Gamecocks will play this year.
Beat Virginia Military 42-10. Beat Mercer 28-21. Western Carolina 28-6. The who?
Catamounts. Yeah, they're garbage.
I can see.
They scored a bunch of points from Gamecocks a couple years ago.
Beat the Citadel 56-20. Lost to Samford 26-20. Faced Elon again, I'm guessing, in a –
that was playoffs. They got an at-large bid in the playoffs.
28-27. Won that. Moved on to play Wofford again and lost 28-10.
I actually watched that second game. I didn't watch the first one because they do tend to televise some of the playoff games for the FCS level. And I like the way they do things, man. I really do. I think it's interesting because all their conferences pretty much – you win the conference, you get in, and then they have the at-larges. And the SoCon for years, or lots of times, would get two at-larges back when they had – it was a bigger conference. App State leaving hurt them. And Coastal went to – God, what league were they in? Big South, I think. And then they're up now in the Sun Belt. So the Southern Conference and some of the smaller conferences, FCS, have taken a hit the last few years. It's still a strong conference. It's considered one of the strongest in FCS every season because of the depth of talent that they have access to here in the Southeast. And that is not going to change going forward, I don't really think. Run into their depth chart real quick, and then we'll get into the game. At quarterback, and I will say this before I get into this. It seems to me by what I've read, and I haven't really watched anything on them, they run the traditional I formation pro-style offense. So this is going to be, you know, two running backs, but a running back slash fullback and a true tailback. They run a split end and a flanker, which is the old style. That's, you know, offense. The split end is on the line of scrimmage, and the flanker is not. I think that's wrong. I think the split end is actually – plays behind the line of scrimmage, and the flanker would play on the line, usually on your left-hand side or whatnot. And then they have the tight end that they play. So a pretty traditional offense. They're going to try to come at you in an old-school way. They're going to really like to run the football. And Furman, back in the day, they threw the ball a good bit as well when they had good quarterbacks. I don't know anything about these guys, honestly. At quarterbacks, Harris Roberts and Jamar Lincoln, I'm sure they're running this style of offense, there could be some triple option in here to watch out for. But I just don't think, even if these guys are pretty mobile, it's nothing like Clemson hasn't faced before. And it's definitely not anything on the level of, if it is an option team or they try to throw those wrinkles in there, it's nothing like what Georgia Tech can run or anybody like that. So the athletes just really aren't here, but they do have a nice football team from year to year usually. At running back, Keelan Dirks and is listed at that position. I'm guessing that's their fullback position. And a fellow by the name of Deion Sanders is also listed as possibly playing, and Devin Abrams.
I hope not.
It's not Neon Deion. Well, if he was out there, he'd get murdered by this Clemson line. There ain't no doubt in my mind. He might have bitten the Tigers back in the day. He damn sure wouldn't be able to now. At tailbacks, Darius Moorhead. At split end, Cam Burnett. At flanker, Thomas Gordon. Tight end is Jake Walker. At left tackle, you got Bo Layton. Left guard, Jacob Conrad. Center, Reed Krober. Right guard, Jordan Harris. Right tackle, Andy Godwin. And I'm going to screw up a couple of these names on the defense, because Furman is an academic school, so they attract people from all walks of life and all areas of the world. And at defensive end, Shinadu Okonya is there. And by the looks of it, they run sort of a hybrid 3-4 defense and maybe like a 3-3-5 as well. It's a three-man front, typically, and then, you know, with some other stuff mixed in. So at nose guard, Jalen Reed. At defensive tackle, Jonah Tibbs. The bandit position, which I'm assuming is an outside linebacker slash defensive end position, is Chris Washington. At middle linebacker, Donovan Perryman, and he's going to be also have Braden Gilby competing there with him in this game. They haven't, I guess, either or could be the starter. At weak side linebacker, Elijah McCoy. The spur position, I'm assuming, is a safety position, is Jordan Willis. Could just be another hybrid type guy, though. Left side cornerback. So if you're seeing left side cornerback, right side cornerback, that would tend to be a typical 3-4 defense. So at left corner is Quadarius Weems, and at right corner, Aquil Anuor. At strong safety, Brian O'Kay, or Oka, I don't know how to pronounce that either. Free safety, Amir Trapp, and their kicker and their punter is Grayson Atkins. So an 8-5 ball club with a few returning starters. I would assume that they're going to give Clemson their best shot. Taylor, based off of knowing very little about Furman and knowing that Clemson is pretty much, without a couple wide receivers and maybe a couple guys in secondary, it's pretty much the same team as last year. Give me a final score prediction just right now, and then I'll go into the game a little bit, and then I'll give my prediction.
7 touchdowns.
So they cover the 48-point spread. You would take that if it's a 48-point spread. You would lay 48 comfortably here with the Tigers.
Yes.
Wouldn't have any doubts in your mind.
No.
I wouldn't call you a fool for doing that. I wouldn't do it big time. I wouldn't call you a fool for that by any means. So I'm going to go over what I think you should see in the game quickly, and then my prediction. I think Clemson should come out here and basically they're going to try to show off a little bit. Sure, you're going to go out here and you're going to throw the ball. You're going to run a couple of fancy plays here or there. Nothing. I don't think Clemson really has to play it close to the vest like some teams would when they have a big game the next week. And the reason being that they are such a talented football team. I don't think they're in that situation like the Gamecocks are in or some other teams. I really don't, because I think the Gamecocks honestly could have – a little more fight on their hands than they want to admit. And that's my opinion. I still think they're going to walk away with the football game fairly handily. But I don't think I would lay the 29.5 there. I wouldn't lay the 48 with Clemson, because, in all honesty, if you get up 31-0, 35-0 in this ball game, man, I would just go out there and hand the ball off. And I'm sure that Dabo would do that. Dabo's not going to go out there and run the score up on Furman. He's just not going to. I don't believe that. Now, if it happens, it happens. If the backup defensive linemen are tackling the quarterback in the backfield, he's fumbling the ball or forcing a fumble and running it back or running a pick back, you can't stop a kid from doing that, especially a guy, you know, if you get down into your third position on the depth chart, you can't tell that guy to lay down. You know what I mean? Wouldn't you want to? I mean, if you were a guy that doesn't typically get to play for Clemson and you're up big and you pick a ball off, you're going to try to run it back, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I would too. But, I mean, there are certain coaches. Well, there's certain coaches that get mad about that.
Oh,
and
yeah.
There are, and for good reason sometimes. But I do not think Clemson's going to intentionally try to run up the score. But I do think it's going to happen just as a matter of fact because they're just that good. And I don't think Furman – I bet they're watching film and a lot of these boys are peeing their leg because they don't know what – they don't know what spot to hit them. They really don't. And they're going to get up here against this start. If this starting defensive line, if Clemson comes out and brings their entire starting defense out for two or three series, I really see this being 21-0, 28-0 very, very quickly. I could see that at the end of the first quarter. I can't remember who they did that against last year, and I had bet like the first quarter over at like 20, I think it was 27 or 26.5, something like it's 26.5. And Clemson made it 27 in the first quarter, all by themselves. I can't remember who they were playing. I wish I could recall, but that was weird. I was kind of nervous there for a minute because I had wagered a little bit on that. And I think, like I said, Clemson's going to go out here, impose their will early. They don't have to show too much. They're the better team, and I'm getting redundant here. So I think just get a lot of guys out there, give them some playing time once you get up big. I'm sure it's going to happen. Hopefully the weather's good for everybody in the state of South Carolina and they can enjoy some football if you head to the games on Saturday. If not, you know, kick back. You'll be able to watch it in some form. Now, that's one of the coolest things now is that with ESPN3 and whatever, I mean, dude, you can watch almost every game. I remember when I was a kid, if you weren't at the games, I mean, you were only televised maybe 2-3 times a year at most, and Clemson was probably televised more than South Carolina. And now you're talking about 8-9 games, maybe even more, being nationally televised, which is crazy to me. And really, you have to count these ESPN 360s or whatever they call ESPN 3 now. You have to count that as nationally televised too, because anybody in the country can watch them that has the capability. So I just think you should look for a big Clemson win. I expect a big one. I'm going to give my final score prediction. I do not think Furman gets on the board. That's just – I'm gonna keep it at that, and I'm going to say – I'm going to say 52-0. That's just – that's where I'm at. And if Furman gets on the board, it's no more than 10. There's no way in the world. But I'm going to say 52-0. I think that's kind of safe. I just think that Clemson is – they like to say we too deep, and they are on the defensive line of the ball especially. So they're going to get some young guys out, quarterback and running back. You're going to see a lot from them this weekend. I wouldn't be surprised if you see a kick return or punt return touchdown as well. Just supreme athletic superiority here. That's all there is to it. So that being said, I'd want to throw this out here. I wish all the Tiger fans that travel at the upstate that have to, especially the ones that have to travel all the way from Charleston or the Grand Strand area or from out of state to come and watch the Tigers play, I wish you well. In your travels, I hope you're all safe. I hope you have a good time at the ball game, get to the tailgate with your friends and cook out a little bit. And if you're kicking back at home, you know, if you're going to open some adult beverages and whatnot, how about stay at your house and don't get out in the road and get crazy. And in the next week or so, like I said, we're going to do the recaps of the games, go forward with a preview of the next game. So we'll have an A&M preview tacked on to the end of a recap episode of Talking Tigers next week. And that's pretty much all I got to say today. Thanks for listening. Give us some feedback if you'd like to. And that's going to pretty much do it today for Talking Tigers. This has been your host, Wesley Burris, Taylor Griggs. Safe travels and have fun at the ball games this weekend. I'm ready. I'm excited that college football's back. I really am. How about you?
Yes.
Yes. Good answer. Thank you very much for listening. Check us out next week. We'll have a recap of the game and a preview for A&M.
Tiger Ride!